Now, as you may have heard in our bulletin, there's to be a significant expansion of the role of pharmacists. Under new proposals accepted by the Department of Health, pharmacists will be able to prescribe treatments for a range of common conditions, including conjunctivitis, shingles and cystitis. The measures are due to come into effect early next year, and it's hoped their introduction will ease pressure on GPs. However, while the Irish Pharmacy Union has welcomed the changes, it has urged members not to implement them until there's progress on lifting a long-standing pay freeze. The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, is with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Rachel.
Under these proposals, what will change?
Can I take a moment to just add my voice to congratulating our Olympians first? What an extraordinary 3 weeks. What an extraordinary group of women and men. I just want to say, for me, for my family and for all of us, they really did just represent the very
best
of us.
As Minister for Health, you must have been glad to see Dr. Paul O'Donovan back at work yesterday, were you?
Well, I was. And as Minister for Health, I was delighted to see so much interest in people going out and doing sports and competing and staying healthy. But my God, what a group of women and men. So I just want to, if I can, Rachel, just salute them and thank them. They really do represent the very best of us, don't they?
They certainly do. Let's go back to the question, though. Under these proposals, which, as I gather, they have been accepted by you and your department. So what's going to change?
I'm accepting the proposals. And what I'm accepting is a pretty radical departure in terms of the role of pharmacists in our country. And the big move is we're going to be operating, pharmacists will have the ability to operate what's called a common conditions service. This is things like conjunctivitis or a rash or a urinary tract infection. We're starting with 8, which have been recommended by the expert group. And there are lots of people who have something fairly minor wrong with them. They need a prescription. The pharmacist can tell them immediately what it is. We already know this.
Mm-hmm. But the pharmacist will then say, you have to go to the doctor for this.
You've got to go to your GP. The GPs are busy. In some parts of the country, it's getting better and better. But in some parts of the country, still, I know people are waiting a long time to get to their GP. So this is all about making it quicker and easier for members of the public to access medicine. So it's better for the public, it's good for the pharmacists, and it's good for GPs because it'll free up some of their time to see the more complex patients.
All right, let's talk about the practicalities then. How much will pharmacists charge people for this service?
That's going to be a matter for the pharmacists. 1 in 4 people in the country has a medical card. And we will enter formal talks with their union, with the Irish Pharmaceutical Union. We'll talk to them about fees for that. And I want to acknowledge that they have a legitimate outstanding ask, which is they want to negotiate their existing fees. And what I've said to
and
them...
we'll come back to that in a moment. But just in relation to the fee for this particular service, what do you think would be a fair amount?
That will be a matter for each pharmacist. So for the 3 in 4 people in the country who don't have a medical card, the pharmacist will be able to, it's a market, the pharmacist will be able to set that. And so a local pharmacist might say, look, Rachel, you're going to come into me. You could go to the GP. They might charge you €60, €70. I'm going to charge you whatever it is, €25. It's a quick consultation, €10. I don't know. It'll be a matter for the pharmacists.
So you haven't put any figure on it at all?
No. And I imagine how it'll work is some of the consultations will be very quick. They'll be able to say, look, you've got conjunctivitis or you have a minor rash or you have whatever. But other consultations, they may want to check weight. They may want to check blood pressure. And, you know, maybe they'll have a differentiated scale.
Do pharmacists have the facilities to do things like that?
In many cases, they already do. And the implementation group, which will have pharmacists obviously on it and will have the professional bodies on it, will look at all of this and say, well, as we expand these conditions, as we write the protocols, because they'll be following protocols for figuring out what's up with you and what's the right medicine for you. It might well be the case that they say, well, everyone has to have weight, everyone has to have blood pressure for these particular protocols.
There's a lot then still to be hammered out.
Yes, what we're launching today is the expert group report into me and into government. And what I'm setting up now is an implementation group. My hope is that, and my aim is that we'll have the common conditions service in place early next year. It's rapid, but I want to get into talks with the IPU after the budget.
You accept then that those talks are needed, because the pharmacy union, as we were saying earlier, it's saying to its members this afternoon that they shouldn't cooperate until substantial progress has been made on lifting a pay freeze.
Yeah, look, the pharmacists are very positive about this. I spoke to one pharmacist today with a lot of experience who said to me, we have waited 30 years for a government to come along and see the scope of what we're able to do.
It sounds though as though they're prepared to wait a bit longer until you come to the table on this particular issue.
They have a very long-standing ask for their current fee structure, for the great work they already do, for those fees to be increased. It's been a long time since there's been an increase. And what I've said publicly to them through this year, and I'm very happy to repeat it now, is after the budget, when we know how much money is available, because that's a matter for government, I am going to instruct my department to enter into formal talks with the IPU. And critically, we'll talk about the very exciting things we're launching today, and we will talk about their outstanding asks on existing fee structures.
Okay, so that's due to happen then, hopefully, in October. I ask you about something else that's been in the news in recent days? Many planned operations and appointments in University Hospital Limerick and in other hospitals in the region have been suspended because of overcrowding. When is normal service likely to resume for people in the Midwest?
There will be a phased recommencement of those services. I expect that phasing to begin in about a week, and I expect the full rephasing to take a short number of weeks. I think, Rachel, it's important to say that what's been done in UHL and in the Midwest is a planned patient safety measure. We sent in an expert group earlier on this year to look at not just the ED in UHL, but to look at the full patient flow through the hospital. It's a pretty stark report. It points out, yes, it acknowledges there's capacity issues. We fully accept that, which is why we're putting in so much capacity. But the report is very clear that there are standard approaches to patient flow in hospitals that we know work well in other hospitals that we are yet to see fully implemented in UHL. Now, a lot of these reforms have started, and HICWA pointed this out in their recent report.
Can I just be clear about something then? What you're talking about here, is this review into emergency care in the region, which was announced back in May? Has that now been concluded?
There are several reviews. There was the Frank Clark review into the tragic
case of
death
of Aoife Johnston, yeah. Right? But this particular one, wasn't there another review announced in May? Are you saying that that's now been completed?
The expert group review is complete. Yes. So Grace Rothwell, who was the manager in Waterford, the chief nurse in Waterford, and Dr. Fergal Hickey, who is an ED consultant, I think in Sligo, they went in, they did a very thorough report on what is working and what's not working. And one of the recommendations in that report, they said the ED needs to be freed up. And there's a lot of patients in the system, as everyone in the hospital knows. And if they can de-escalate, if they can free up those beds, if they can get the flow going, and while they're getting the flow going, if they can implement the new, better working practices, then we can begin to see things improve. And so what we're doing in these few weeks, it was planned, it was advised by the expert group, and it is a patient safety measure.
Okay, just to be clear again then about this, if you now have that review of emergency care in the Midwest, will you be publishing it? And when are we likely to see further outcomes?
I'm more than happy to publish. I fully believe we need to have as much transparency as possible.
Now, so is it the plan then to publish it in the near future?
Just so that there's no confusion, there is a report, there's a review I've asked HICWA to do, which is a review of emergency care in the Midwest, including looking at the case for a second ED. That's not the report we're talking about.
Okay,
talking
so you haven't got that second report, because as you know, many people in the region are waiting to hear what it has to say.
That's right. And what I said on that, Rachel, was I wanted to wait to get the report from Justice Frank Clark, because I wanted HICWA to be able to look at what Justice Clark was saying so that it could be incorporated into their terms of reference.
I wouldn't blame people if at this stage they were bamboozled by the number of reports, but the Frank Clark report is specifically into the death of Aoife Johnston, the 16-year-old from Shannon who died in the emergency department.
The Justice Clark report was into the tragic death of Aoife, but it has made broader recommendations in terms of how we we give the people of the Midwest the care that they need. One of the things you're doing is we're doing, as you'll be aware, is when I announced an initial 3,000 hospital beds before the summer, the lion's share of that per capita is going to the Midwest. The Midwest at the moment has the lowest number of hospital beds per capita of any of the six regions. When we're finished this 3,000 beds, it'll have the second highest.
And specifically then on the case of Aoife Johnston, that report was handed over, I think, about a month ago. Have you read it and when will you be acting on it?
I have read it and I've discussed it. There is a process in place coming out of that report that is being run by the chief executive. The process includes named individuals, and for that reason, there's very little else I can say about it at the moment, because there's a process in place and that process has to work its way through. What I can say is I do want the report published, or a publishable version of it. There may be some things that have to be redacted because there are named individuals in it. So that your listeners are clear, there was a report done by an expert group into the emergency department. We have that. It's a stark report, and the reset that's going on at the moment is coming out of that. That's the first report.
Okay.
The second report is the Frank Clark report into the tragic death of Aoife. The chief executive has that. I have that, and there is a process in place. And now coming out of that, HICWA is going to do the work that a lot of people in the Midwest have asked me for, which is to look more broadly and say, is there more, as well as the extra beds we're adding, as well as the extra capacity that's going in, is there more
All
that
right.
should be done?
And that process is ongoing.
HICWA's about to start that, and is part of that a second DD.
All right. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime.